All right, everybody, let's get started here. My name is John Vinsel. I'm a program manager on the developer experiences team. I'm program manager lead for things like app deployment and some of our packaging and tooling. With me is...
I'm Tejas Patel. I'm a senior program manager on the Windows Store for Business and really about getting apps to your users.
So before we get started, just quick show of hands, how many people are using Windows 10 in their enterprise? Awesome. And how many people have actually heard about the Windows Store for Business? Cool. So we're going to deep dive in a lot about enterprise apps and the Windows Store for Business in this session and just give you a good overview and some knowledge on how it works and how it can be meaningful for you guys as both developers or using it within your enterprise itself. So if we look at apps in the enterprise, when we started introducing universal apps or in Windows 8, Windows 8 apps, we did a good job of doing things for the consumer basis, but we didn't do such a good job for folks in the enterprise. Everything was tied directly to your Microsoft identity. We didn't really play well with different type of enterprise scenarios like disconnected PCs, working with domain joined computers. And then even for the scenarios that we did kind of work well with, we put a lot of restrictions and barriers in place. Over the past few years, we've taken a lot of feedback. We spent a lot of time with customers. We've made a lot of improvements in our feature sets to really make universal Windows apps important and usable in your enterprise.
Thanks, John. So really what I'm going to talk about first is the Windows Store for Business. So really the Windows Store for Business is one place for IT professionals to acquire, manage, distribute apps in volume to Windows 10 devices using workplace identities. As John mentioned, we dealt with a lot of challenges with the Windows 8, store, Windows 8.1 store. It was really designed for consumer experiences. And really what we decided to do was to enable organizations to be able to, A, acquire apps in bulk. So if you guys remember, there's no efficient way for your users within your organizations or as an app developer to actually target businesses. So one of the key values of the Windows Store for Business is actually to enable an experience whereby an IT administrator, an IT professional, a procurement agent can actually acquire these applications in bulk that have been published to the store. Now, as kind of one part of it is, hey, I can get one app if a single user requests it, or I can buy thousands of applications for my organization from the actual Windows Store for Business. So one of the key parts about it is we're going to actually start doing some more features around monetization. So one of those kind of coming down the road a little bit later is going to be the ability for you to be able to sell your application using volume pricing. So for example, today in the retail store, when you go buy a price, it's a fixed price. So if I set it for 99 cents, that's the price my consumer or even the business can get it at. Going down the road, what we'd like to do is offer effectively seat tiering. So if I buy 1 to 10 copies of an application, it'll be at one price. Or if I buy 50 or more, I can actually enable you to sell it at a lower price. So you're getting more volume of that applications in front of people. Second part is we support both free and paid applications. So today, free applications can be acquired simply by just signing up to our portal and using your Azure AD account. When you're going through our portal, if you don't have an Azure AD tenant, we'll just go ahead and create a free one for you in the background. And we don't really want to put a lot of obstacles in your way to actually getting these applications. Now, one thing that we've heard a lot of feedback upon is Azure AD might or might not be quite, prevalent in all the different regions across the globe. So one of the things to kind of consider there, if you're, within your organization or when you're working with customers, is that really is, to ask the question, hey, do you have Office 365? And if they have Office 365, the light bulb lights up. It's like, yes, you already have Azure AD. You're able to sign in. So go ahead and, really get into the store and, start acquiring applications. Now, when it comes to kind of the next portion of it, we're really working hard to enable monetization through our Windows Store for Business soon. So the first thing we're going to offer is support for credit cards. So that's kind of on our near-term roadmap, and you'll be hearing more about that in the next upcoming months. Now, what that'll enable an organization to do is if they don't really have a true procurement department, they can simply go in, use their credit card, their corporate card, and acquire all the applications they need to for their users. The second part about it, and we've heard a lot of feedback that organizations want, is basically invoicing. So if they're already spending money with Microsoft, for example, on Office 365, Azure, or any of the other services, we can simply add the items that have been purchased from the Windows Store for Business to that monthly invoice, which will then kind of consolidate their spending. They'll get one nice clean bill, so they can actually kind of take a look at their spend holistically from Microsoft. kind of in the future, what we're going to also do is enable more of the paid application content types. So right now, we don't offer support for add-ons or subscriptions, but that'll be coming in the near term too. So kind of stay tuned for that. But it really provides a great way for you either as an app developer or another channel in addition, in addition to the consumer channel, to actually make money off of your applications and get those apps in front of more eyeballs within an org. And effectively, since we are using Azure AD, many orgs are moving to it, it's basically opening up a whole new storefront for developers to actually offer their apps into. And it's really the same set of customers that we've traditionally worked with a lot in the past, with businesses, educational institutions, governmental institutions. So it really expands the reach of your applications and where they can go. Now, one of the key things I want to drill in on is about licensing options. So within the Windows Store for Business, we actually support two licensing options. One is known as online, which requires connectivity, which requires the devices to have connectivity to the store, in addition to an Azure AD identity tied up with the user. And then there's offline licensing, which really requires no connectivity at all, but it's really up to the org to enforce how many licenses of an application that they've purchased. And really, we did both models because it really enables a flexible set of distribution options that we'll talk about a little bit later to actually get your apps onto these devices, whether they're mobile or desktop on Windows 10. Now, which one do I use? So this is really kind of a developer opt-in choice. So for online license applications, your users that will be able to, or that are going to get the app, need to have an Azure Active Directory identity. Now, if you think about how the consumer store works today, a consumer has to first sign in with their Microsoft account into the store. You acquire the application. Then the actual install and everything is based on your Microsoft account identity. So rather than your Microsoft account identity, you're actually, as an organization, are going to use your Azure Active Directory account identity to be able to verify that the app has been purchased to you or assigned to you, and then be able to download it and install it onto your device. And it will come out of your organization's inventory that we'll kind of look at in just a few moments. Now, for this to work, obviously, the devices have to have connectivity to the store services, which enables it to get a license for that application, and then to actually download the actual app package and install it onto the device. Now, in this model, the licensing is actually enforced by the store services. So, for example, if you've purchased 50 copies of an application as an organization, basically what's going to end up happening is if I've assigned it out to 50 people and then I decide to try to get it to the 51st person, basically we're going to stop that application from being installed because you've run out of your allotment of that application. Now, one of the other parts about it is when we take a look at the apps that are available kind of in the Windows Store for Business today, they're really all of the consumer apps or all the apps that have been given to the retail catalog have been ported over. So it's really the full catalog of applications that are available in the retail store are actually available in the Windows Store for Business because they've all been opted in for that model. One of the other things that we've heard was the need for customers, or actually from our customers and also from you guys, was an efficient way to get applications onto devices that may not have connectivity to the internet. And you basically don't have the requirement that they need to be able to use an Azure AD account. So what we've done in the Windows Store for Business is introduce a new licensing concept, which is an offline licensed application. And what that really means is any user identity can be used on the local device. So that means I can grab the app package plus a license that has the watermark of the organization and install the app and the license onto the devices across the org. And really, what that also means or implies as well is that the enterprise needs to actually host this content within their intranet or whatever, if they're using MDM, whichever service that they're using for that. And what that gives them is an ability to cache these copies of the application so they can then distribute it widely across their org. Now, for using an offline licensed application, obviously no connectivity to the store is required. So if you do have restrictions in place with your firewall and how you want to route traffic, you don't have to open up any connections to the store enabled for that device to get activated. Now, one of the key points here, though, is for offline licensing, it's really the responsibility of the enterprise to do license reconciliation. So the vast majority right now, obviously, are going to be free applications that enable an enterprise to be able to acquire the applications. However, there's a couple of scenarios that we'll talk about a little bit later, which include LOB apps, which actually give you a little bit more flexibility on how to control who you're doing business with if you have a paid offline application in order to get it to a certain enterprise. Now, as a developer, one of the key things that we heard feedback on was, hey, I love these modern apps, I like UWP, but effectively when I develop these applications, every single time there's an update, I actually have to take this app package and hand it over to each individual organization. And that became kind of cumbersome. So when we talk about the LOB flows, we do offer the ability to actually directly target an organization with that app. So once you publish the application, effectively, now you have a channel into that enterprise that when you make that update, the update can be accepted by the organization in a much more efficient manner in order to get those updates published out there instead of having to go to each individual org and literally hand off the app package, which sometimes causes a lot of friction for a lot of developers out there. Now, for the offline licensing option, we'll also talk about kind of the experience, but we opted in all of the retail applications for online licensing. However, there's an explicit choice as a developer you need to make to enable offline licensing to make sure that it really meets kind of your requirements and how you're handing out your applications. All right, so when we talk about the apps, I was kind of alluding to how these applications get into the store, but really the store for business complements the Windows Store. And what does that mean? So really it's the same process to basically get apps into there, and it's the same app types that we're going to be supporting inside of the Windows Store for Business. There may be a little bit of a lag sometimes on add-ons and subscription support, but effectively, at the end of the day, our goal is to have parity with all the content types that are supported in the retail store inside of the business store as well. And what that also means is, well, what type of platforms do you support in there right now? So one is we support universal Windows platform apps. Second is we support the existing applications that had been developed for Windows Phone 8 and Windows Desktop 8 into the store. So we've done a mass migration of all of those applications so they actually run on Windows 10 devices. And the more important one that we've heard a lot of buzz about this week are the platform bridge apps. So this includes the way to convert an iOS application into a UWP. And more importantly, the Centennial work. So when we're ready to release, any of the Centennial applications that you make available in the retail store will also work on the Windows Store for Business. And it kind of has a little bit more downward implications when we actually talk about app distribution, because many of the distribution mechanisms that our partners are integrating with us right now, IT is integrating with us right now, will continue to work the same way as a UWP, so it makes it a lot easier to get these applications deployed and serviced on these devices out there. Now, one question that we get a lot is, hey, I am still running Windows 8 or Windows Phone 8, can I get these apps from the Windows Store for Business and deploy it to there? And the answer is no. So basically, the apps that you purchase from the Windows Store for Business will only run on Windows 10 devices, and that's due to changes that we made in licensing and kind of the way that we deploy applications, but effectively, if you buy from our storefront right now, those apps will only run on Windows 10 and higher. And then the next part is, how do these apps actually get into the store for business? So basically, we use the same process as any other application. All applications are submitted through the Windows Dev Center, and what that really means is effectively the same processes that are applied to any app that shows up in the retail catalog will also apply to any of the apps that show up in the Windows Store for Business, including certification policies, that includes all the virus scanning and everything else that's included as a part of the Dev Center itself. Now, one of the other parts is, that I mentioned earlier, is all apps by default are opted in. However, you as a developer do have a choice to not opt in your app. However, with the audience involved, to get it to businesses, we hopefully want to get more eyeballs on your top of your app to actually go acquire it and use it within the enterprise. Now, there's actually, they've done some work in Dev Center, and they're going to continue to do work to actually streamline the process to make it a lot easier to get into the Dev Center and submit your application. And the one other part, and we'll kind of have a separate section on it a little bit later, is the ability to support line of business applications. So with that said, what I'll do is do a little demo of the Dev Center and how to actually ingest applications into the business store. So over here, I've gone ahead and already signed into the, I signed into the Dev Center over here. And I have a couple of submissions here. So the one that I'm working on right now is called my test app build, because I'm testing everything. And over here, it's just the same submission flow that you'll see for any retail application. So what I'll do is I'll go in and edit my submission. And then the first thing I'll do is come over here to pricing and availability, because that's where all the options are for the business store itself. And over here, once I've set everything else, so obviously once we support paid, the paid applications will show up in our portal. So for instance, today, if you have a paid application in the marketplace, it's not being displayed within our portal today. However, as soon as we do light up paid support, those apps will automatically be made available within our site. Now, if you scroll down a little bit further, the key options for the Windows Store for Business are these over here. So by default, what we do is we enable your app to be made available in our storefront. So the default option that's enabled is the offline licensing, the online licensing option. So basically, as soon as it's checked by default, and the application actually makes it through the publishing process, it'll just show up in our portal without any additional configuration required as a developer to make it show up. Now, for the offline licensing, this is a separate checkbox, and this is the opt-in I was talking about a little bit earlier. If when selected, basically what will happen is that app will go through the submission process, all the same checks apply, and it'll also be available in the Windows Store for Business. And then when John shows you in just a few moments, you'll be able to kind of see all the applications, and if it actually has an offline option available, a customer can select that when acquiring the application itself. But really, kind of the key here is there isn't really any additional work to do to actually make this app available. As soon as you submit your app, and if you don't change anything, it'll just show up in our storefront. Or if you do have organizations or you do hear the needs from larger customers for your app to say, hey, I want this to be available offline, this is the place to go in and do it.
So I think one thing to just kind of touch on too, and as you can see from the Dev Center page, it's the same app. Like we talk about the Windows Store for Business, we talk about the Windows Store. They're two different like catalogs, so to speak, but it's the same app. So if you update the app once, it gets updated in both places. You're not managing two different things. You're just managing different things like licensing options available to different identities.
Good point. All right, so just to kind of do a high-level summary of what we've just taken a look at. So I, in this particular case, logged into the developer center and submitted the application. And basically, as John mentioned, you're going through the same flow. So whatever you do for the retail app is what you're going to do for the Windows Store for Business. And then the first place it's going to show up is in the consumer store app. And then the second place it's going to show up is in the business store. So it's all the same application. There isn't a separate package or anything. And then once an application has been purchased by an organization, it's going to be added to the org's inventory from there. And then those applications can then be distributed out to devices. Now, one other part to it that I think would be kind of important is when you're making those updates to your applications, it's actually going through the same process as well. So the first time you submit an app, it's the same app. It'll show up in both places to be acquired. But when you actually update the application, those same updates are the exact same for the same application. Now, when we talk about the store for business, one of the key things that we kind of make that transition, so now I've submitted the application. Now, I'm the customer that's actually acquiring this application from the store for business. So there's really kind of three key things that we wanted to do for organizations. One is to maintain your investment. So what we heard a lot from enterprises was, hey, we like app stores, they're great, but it's difficult for us to manage the purchasing, the procurement, and the budgeting of these applications. And two, you're making us use some other type of identity, which we have no control over. So really, the first part is when you're getting apps from the store for business, you have the ability to reclaim and reuse those applications. When you're using the consumer store, basically, since I'm assigning a different Microsoft account to each individual that wants to go make a purchase, if that person ever leaves the organization, that app is effectively theirs. So we wanted a quick way for IT and organizations to be able to take control of those apps. So if they're not being used anymore, the users move to a different department, basically the IT admin or whoever is managing it can actually reclaim these applications and then reuse it with other folks so they don't lose their investment on the application. And the second part is if you're seeing folks that aren't effectively kind of shifting around and everything else, you're able to maintain your investment a little bit better because you're actually getting more utilization out of those apps. You're not overbuying. If you're underbuying, you can just simply go in and buy more really easily. Now, when we talk about kind of acquiring additional seats, basically, there's two parts to this. So one is if you're using online licensing, basically, we enforce how many of that application can be assigned to a user. And this is really more for about paid applications. For free applications, basically, once it's inside of our inventory, you can assign it to as many folks that you need to assign it to. For offline, we have a count of how many app or of that app has been acquired, and this is once again for the paid case of how many seats you've acquired, and then it's really up to the enterprise to make sure that they're going through and acquiring additional seats as necessary for an application. And then the key thing that I want to touch upon, and then we'll kind of come back to it a little bit later, is select how to distribute an application. So we've heard a lot of complaints and issues that, hey, in addition to getting this app from the consumer store, making my users go through a different motion, we need a quick and easy way of doing stuff, but we also have big needs around using enterprise management tools, e.g. SCCM, Intune, and some of the big vendors out there. So basically, we do provide services that enable an enterprise management tool to distribute these applications. But with that said, I'll hand it over to John to actually kind of get you into the portal first to take a look around.
Cool, thanks. All right, demos, so much better than listening to us just talk about slides here. So this is the Windows Store for Business portal. I've just logged in with my organizational identity. So as we talked, it was my Azure AD, I'm using Office 365, it's same identity for both. I can go through the portal here and I can shop on the main page. I can see access to different types of apps that I want. I can also just go to the top and search. So in this case, it's all about build. I'm presenting stuff, so I'm going to go acquire PowerPoint. Do a quick search, and I can see PowerPoint. I can also see ratings of the app, so we carry over the ratings forward. Through here, I can click through and select to go acquire the app. Now, we've talked a little bit about online and offline licensing. You can see that this app has been opted in to offline licensing, and it gives me the option to switch to an offline license type if I want. I really just want the store to take care of all the license enforcement for me, so I'm going to select the online license option. I click get the app. Then right now it should present me with different ways that I can go distribute. So we can assign it to people, as Tejas was mentioning. I can distribute it later. I can add it to my catalog. So for right now, I'm just going to distribute it later. And then from here, I'm going to actually go back into my inventory. So it's taking me to my inventory, and I can see it with the other apps that I have in my store. So right now, you can see I have PowerPoint Mobile. Last modified date was today, and then it's got an online license. So acquiring an app is super easy to do from within inside our store portal. The portal also allows me to do a few other things. One, it allows me to set permissions. So if I'm working with Tejas, and Tejas is the business guy, I can set him a permission to just purchase apps but not distribute. Likewise, I can let my IT guys just distribute and not purchase. So we can manage different types of permissions so that you can have the right kind of control within your environment. We talked about a little bit of management tool integration. We can go manage the integration with our management tools. So if you're using something like a Windows Intune, you can create a direct sync with our business store so that you get all the data flowing back and forth. And then you'll see line of business publishers, and we'll talk a little bit in a moment about how you can get your line of business apps to integrate within our Windows Store.
Thanks, John. All right, so we touched on a little bit about distribution, as John had shown before. So we really have two main methods of distributing apps via the business store. One is the private store, and really what the private store, kind of the motion is, as John was showing you a little bit earlier, is once I've acquired an application, I, as an admin, can select the applications I want to show within the private store. So you're asking, well, what's the private store? So the private store is just a section within the store app that we'll show a little bit later that basically shows all of the apps available to users within your organization. So if your users are used to going to a store app to acquire their applications, a new tab will show up, and all the applications that you've acquired or wanted to make available within the store app are actually enabled on there. And we'll kind of look at that in just a few moments. Now, one of the key advantages of this is this provides a really simple, quick way to get those apps accessible to your users. And those apps that are viewable are only viewable to your organization. So we require the Azure Active Directory account to authenticate the user. Once authenticated, we know what the collection is of applications that only users within your organization can see. Now, to use a private store, we only support the online licensing because you're using the store app and we need connectivity. And one of the other key parts about it is basically to manage those applications, you do everything through the Windows Store for Business portal itself. You don't have to go out, do anything else. You just effectively do everything within there. All your tasks are completed. And so, for example, if you say, hey, this user's left the organization, I want to be able to reclaim it, you just go into our portal, reclaim that license, and it's added back into the inventory so another user can access it. The second part of what we support is direct assignment. So direct assignment is kind of a quick and dirty way, and it's really kind of, you know, not very granular, but it's really made for kind of small to medium organizations. It's to say, hey, I've, you know, have an organization of 50 people, pretty easy to manage tasks over there. So what I can do within using the direct assignment flow is I can just simply enter in users, and we've recently introduced support for groups to specify the people that I want to notify that an application is available. Once they receive the notification, all they have to do is click on a link or go into the store app and just simply download and install the application onto their device. Now, in this particular motion as well, everything's online licensed because it does require store connectivity. And really, you would manage this app the same way you would for apps that you've made available in the private store. So if someone decides to leave the organization, you would just simply reclaim the license. If you want to assign it to another user, you can then reassign it to another user from there. Now, kind of, you know, and really the business store distribution methods are kind of just really simple. It's kind of taken solving the simple problems. Now, one of the key things that we heard from kind of the Windows 8 days was, hey, this is great, but we don't have a way of really managing applications within my organization. So what we've done is we've introduced integration with management tools. So one of the key things there is we've introduced services around the Windows Store for Business called the Store for Business Services. And really what they are services for management tools. And effectively what happens here is if I've acquired an application and my management tool is integrated with the Store for Service or Store for Business Services, it enables all of that inventory to be synchronized down into this management tool, so then it can be distributed to all of my users. And well, you're asking, well, what's coming along with that? So first part of the data is metadata. So one of the other things we also heard kind of from the 881 days was a lot of admins were having to go through and screen scrape product descriptions, try to make up icons, get all the details of the application down. So what we enable is the ability for all of that metadata about the application to actually be synchronized down to the management tool. So you as an, you know, if your IT admin is going in there, they don't have to sit there and scrape everything. Everything should already be there and be ready for them. If we're talking about an offline licensed application, you're actually getting two additional pieces of content. You're actually getting the AppX package into the management tool, but you're also getting a license for that content as well. For an online application, all you're going to get is just the metadata because effectively the management tool is going to call a device, it's going to wake up and then go grab that application. Now, for the management tools themselves, to use a management tool with the Windows Store for Business, obviously they have to integrate with the Store for Business services. The second part about it is they also have to integrate with the Windows 10 management framework on the devices itself, which enables it to install an application, uninstall an application, and manage the licenses on a device itself. And the key thing here is a lot of companies have already been using management tools for a long time for Win32 applications. So this is just taking the next step to say, hey, how do we make these UWPs available within our organization? And we already have an existing infrastructure, so how do we actually make it more easier for us to get these things out and deployed without having to go through a bunch of hoops of trying to just get, you know, one or two applications out? Now you can get a bunch of applications out without having to jump through, as an organization, a bunch of additional hoops. The other part about it too is really when you're talking about a management tool, they have way more granularity than what we do in the Store for Business as far as managing app distribution, right? So you can do users, you can do groups, you can do complex groups. So for instance, if I have marketing and marketing is required to have this specific application, I can just target that application for my marketing department. That's something we don't offer as a distribution option inside of the business portal itself. So we really do recommend for more complex scenarios to actually go out and use a management tool, because it'll make your life a lot easier.
And I think one thing to kind of just touch on with that too is a lot of times when we talk to enterprise customers, you know, we as Microsoft or other companies create, you know, a portal or a front-end service and we say you have to use it for this. Well, when we look at an enterprise, is you want to go and distribute apps in apps to your users. And the apps aren't just Windows Store apps. They're Win32 apps. They're web links. They're things like that. So by creating these sync services and leveraging, you know, whatever your preferred MDM provider is, something like Windows Intune, is you can present that portal of, this is data that my user needs, and it might be a Win32 app, it might be a Windows Store app, and it could be a web link, and they have a single pane of glass to go work with. So we're not trying to create new entry points for all your users. We're just trying to give different options to allow you to manage the enterprise with the flexibility you need.
That's right. And then for the self-service model, when using a management tool, so a lot of our partners out there offer, you know, basically a self-service mechanism, e.g. like a company store portal or, you know, internet site or some other place where all of your users typically go to if the store app has been disabled to actually acquire these applications. So using the metadata, the offline packages, online licensed applications, you can build a simple experience where all of your users can do more of the self-service work where you don't have to keep purchasing or managing all of that inventory on their behalf. And so I'll kind of quickly walk through kind of distribution via management tool. And really what happens here is I as an IT pro log onto the portal, acquire my application, synchronize that data down to the management tool itself, and then the management tool will send policy down to the device. And if it's an online licensed application, basically the device is actually going to connect up to the store services, grab the license, and then download the application if they're entitled to that application. And the second form is really kind of app distribution via a management tool, and this is for offline licensing. So in this particular case, same motion. I acquire the application. That data is then synchronized to the management tool. The management tool can actually replicate that app content around their organization depending on their bandwidth needs. And then basically the management server is going to issue a command down to the device. And in this particular case, instead of the device connecting to the store, it's just going to connect to the local file share or wherever that application is stored, download the app license, the app package, and install it onto the device itself. With that said, I'm going to hand it over to John to talk more about line of business applications.
Cool. Thanks, Hages. So we just spent some time talking about the Windows Store for Business. You know, it's all about enterprise in our session here. So we really want to talk about like different options you have for enterprise apps. We did make a bunch of improvements in the Windows Store for Business to introduce the private store. So we're going to walk through some flows in a moment here that'll show you as a developer for your organization how you can leverage the Windows Store for Business for your own personal company apps without exposing your apps to other companies. But likewise, we know that, hey, you still just want to work within your own enterprise, right? Like, maybe you don't want to integrate with store services, maybe you have some really private IP, and you don't want anyone being able to see that. So we still have the ability to do traditional side loading. We've made a lot of improvements in Windows 10 to make that better for you guys, and we'll kind of walk through what those changes are. So first off, you know, this is the slide that Tejas showed you a little while ago, and it talked about how normally a developer would go and submit an app to the Windows Store and then how you could leverage the Business Store. What we've introduced for your private store is one more entry point where an IT developer can go publish directly to his private inventory if he's enabled. So me as an enterprise, I can go take my developer's account and enable him to publish directly into my local IT inventory. I do the exact same dev center submission, but instead of it going through the normal workflow, it just goes straight into my catalog. So it doesn't go into the retail catalog at all, and it doesn't get offered up into the business store, but it still leverages the store services. It'll still get hosted on the CDN, and you'll be able to download and enforce licensing like you can for any other store app. So what does that really look like, Tejas?
All right, so let's take a look at that. All right, so over here, I'm back into the Dev Center again. And this time, I've created my own application that I only want to make available to my own organization. So in this case, what I'll do is go into the submission here. And as soon as I open up the submission, it's going to give me the same options that I would get for normally submitting an application. So what I'll then do is, once again, go to pricing and availability. And from there, what I'll do is scroll down a little bit. And over here, what I'm going to actually show is the distribution and visibility. So what I want to be able to do is be able to show where this app is going to show up. So in this particular case, I've already submitted this application because it can take a little bit of a while to get it over to my org. But in this particular case, since my organization, Contoso Northwest, has been authorized, I can now actually just submit that application directly to that org. Now, to actually authorize developers to be able to do this, what I actually have to do first is go into the Windows Store for Business, click on the LOB publishers, and what I've done is already added my particular publisher, in this case, to be able to submit applications. Once the submission process goes through, the app will show up in the Windows Store for Business under the new LOB app over here. So once I have accepted the application, because we just don't want random apps to be added to your inventory in case they're coming from another source and you kind of want to make sure you're not getting spammed by a bunch of apps, it'll then be added to your inventory, and then you can manage that just like any other application that you've acquired from the Windows Store for Business.
So I think one important thing to kind of touch on here that isn't directly called out is Tejas went and authorized a user to publish directly to his catalog. In many cases, that'll be your enterprise developer, but it doesn't actually have to be. You could be working with somebody like a consulting company, and they want to publish directly to you. You can actually go authorize people outside your organization to do a direct publish into your catalog. So really making it easier to kind of manage the entire lifecycle of those line of business apps.
Sorry.
Do you want to show distribution?
So now that I've accepted that application is actually going to show up in my inventory. So now it'll show up as the Build 2016 Private Catalog application. And if you notice, it's going to show up as a line of business application, just to kind of give a visual cue that this is an application that's only available to my organization. Now, as we mentioned earlier, when we're talking about the licensing options, you can, when submitting that application, both enable it for online and offline. So depending if you're working with an external vendor that you want to be able to get the app from, but you do have needs that require an offline license, they can directly deliver that app to your organization and enable it for offline licensing without them having to kind of fear that licensing, kind of, if they're kind of, I would say, a little bit worried about that license ever leaking, you can just directly give it to that organization. All right. And so from there, what I've already gone ahead and done for this particular app is added it to the private store. So the private store is the other concept that we're talking about a little bit earlier, which whereby your users can actually view these applications within the store app. So for this particular application, I've added it to my private store. So as a user, when I actually launch the store application, you'll now see a new tab on here because I've signed in with my Azure Active Directory identity called Contoso Midwest. So as soon as I click on this, since I'm signed in, basically now I'll actually be able to see this actual application that I've submitted as a line of business application, accepted into my inventory, and I can go through and now and install the application onto my device. And this is just kind of going, oops. Take a look at that in just a second. But at the end of the day, I'm able to actually go through, install it, and it's kind of a quick and easy process. And it kind of eliminates the need as a developer to just continue to give all these sideloaded applications. Now, one of the things that we touched upon a little bit earlier is once an app has been submitted through the store, effectively, everything that the store provides for consumers is available for businesses as well. So if those updates are available for that application, those updates are going to be made available via store updates, so then users can automatically get those updates. If you're using management tools, you can actually control how those updates are applied to devices. So we offer a lot of flexibility for organizations to actually control the behaviors, give a great way for users to discover it, whether you're using the business store or whether you're using a management tool to get those applications more broadly available within your org.
And then the last thing to emphasize here is, again, this is just an extension of the existing store app. As you can see, when he launched it, you were able to see everything you could in the normal store, and then we isolated a tab for our enterprise, which is the Contoso Midwest tab. So it's not we're not introducing a separate app to go do this from. It's all integrated into a normal workflow that your user would use.
That's right. Yep. Sure. For 11, basically, it'll give an error message back to the user that we're going to kind of improve on. But basically, it says, hey, you must go and install from another device if we're able to install it onto this device.
OK, so we just kind of walked through the private store. What are the requirements? The requirements are that you need to have a Developer Center account and the Windows Store for Business enabled with Azure Active Directory. That's kind of it. If you're using like an offline license within your enterprise, your users don't need anything. If you want to leverage the actual store app, or if you want to leverage any kind of enforcement, then the users need the Azure Active Directory on the client side. And again, when we say Azure Active Directory, just think, hey, do I have Office 365? because you probably already have a tenant set up. You might not realize it. And we just work across the same identity system for all these services. A lot of benefits that you guys get just out of the box. You don't have to worry about hosting your content anymore. You know, you don't have to have file shares. You don't have to worry about signing it. It automatically does the WAC check, so we're testing it. We're doing the malware checks on it. You're getting all the benefits you would of a store app, but it's isolated to your enterprise. It's already integrating with our store services, too. When you go and submit this app, you're submitting it with an identity in our store. The identity is restricted to your enterprise, but that means, guess what? I get WNS for free. I can get my telemetry on my app for free. All that's available through Developer Center in the natural workflows that we have for Windows Store apps. You get the ability to restrict on your Azure Active Directory identity. Also, you get free updates via Windows updates. Again, these are hosted within the store and then just isolated for your org, but if your device is on the internet, 3 a.m., it runs the Windows update scan, you're going to get your app updates for your private line of business apps as well as your store apps. So it just takes a little bit of that maintenance of managing the lifecycle of the apps away from you and just makes it really easy for you guys. And then, like I said, you can do an offline license and kind of download and deploy it. It is your app. You have complete rights to take it back, do whatever you want with it, and we make sure you have all those available channels for that. So let's talk a little bit about sideloading apps. So we talked about the private line of business apps. Say, for some reason, you just still want to keep your apps controlled within your environment. You might have a super secret thing that controls like a fighter plane. Hey, that sounds kind of cool. And naturally, you might not want to submit that to the store. So we got a lot of feedback over the years. I don't think we had any good models until we shipped Windows 10. We listened to your feedback, and we've basically just ensured that the OS is open for you guys. From this point on, starting with Windows 10, sideloading is just a simple UX click or a group policy or any kind of MDM policy. You no longer need to worry about 5x5 keys on Windows desktop, being part of a domain, using an AET, going and buying a specialized semantic cert. These are your enterprise devices. These are your apps. You should be able to do whatever you want on this device, and we made sure that the platform now supports that. So what does it really mean to do? Super easy. Like I said, you just go in and you unlock your device. If you're using domain join or if you have MDM, it's just a group policy that you push down. So really simple. You will have to do one thing, which is push a certificate to your device. We do want to make sure that any app deployed to your device is trusted because the apps can be installed by the users. We don't want just any crazy sideloaded app being able to be downloaded from the internet and installed. So from an enterprise IT perspective, you can go and push your own root signing certificate down. And if you're using like any of the cert issuance that's tied into AD, I believe that automatically comes down when you join your PC to the domain. But if you go ahead and just push your certificate down, all you have to do is go and just install the app. So super easy. You do get a few more benefits by just sideloading an app. First off, you can do inter-process communication. So in Windows 8.1, we had that runtime broker. Apps in the store aren't allowed to work with the runtime broker, so your sideloaded apps can still do that. Likewise, you do get access to more capabilities. The Windows Store has the basic set of capabilities, and then there's like a second tier of restricted capabilities. Again, for apps that aren't coming from the store, we give you more flexibility, so you guys can have access to the second-party capabilities if the apps are being sideloaded. And then, again, benefit, I guess, no service interaction. If you just want to work completely isolated from any network, you don't have to submit, you don't have to publish, any of that type of stuff. It's all controlled by you guys. So enough of me talking. Let me kind of show it to you guys in action here. So back to my Windows 10 PC here. I'm going to go and unlock my device for sideloading. So all I do is go into Settings. I click on Update and Security. And you guys will see this new setting in here for developers. Click on that. And then all I do is set it to developer mode. By default, if you're using Windows 10, the 15.11 release, all editions that are Core and Pro will have the sideloading apps enabled by default. Enterprise Edition will still be a little bit more locked down with Windows Store apps only enabled. But again, you can push a policy to control it on or off in any direction that you guys want. Or you can just go change it from the UX. So in this case, I went ahead and gone and turned it into developer mode. Now I just want to go and install an app. So I have an app on my PC here. First thing I want to do is, for this, I haven't installed any kind of certificate here. So I just get PowerShell ready here. So you can see, if I go here and try to install the app, it's just a basic demo app I have. If I go try to install it, it's going to tell me that my app's not trusted. So that's, again, I didn't have my certificate installed. And we just want to make sure that malicious apps aren't making it onto your system. So I'm going to go and install a certificate. And there's two places you can install a certificate to. If you're installing an actual root certificate, so if it's a root from your own issued certificate, you can go and put it in the trusted root certification authorities. Maybe you're just doing some dev peer testing like I'm doing here. You can take the peer trust cert and just put it into trusted people as well. Okay, so I've added my certificate, so now I should be able to go and install my app. So I did have PowerShell open here, but you know what? None of my users know how to use PowerShell. So starting in the Windows 10 anniversary update, we actually implemented the ability to go and just click to install your AppX. So, hey, thank you. So I'm going to launch it. This is a dev app, so it's just got a really basic name. But it'll go and actually look at the app, and it'll show you the real name of the app and who the actual publisher is, give you a little bit of the version information. Go ahead and click install. Shows me the progress. If it's a bigger app, obviously, it might take a little bit more time. And then when it's done, it gives me the ability to launch it. And it didn't successfully launch, yay me. But I should be able to go into all apps and see it installed here. And that's my sample app. So super easy, trying to make it really easy for you guys to deploy apps in your environment. Now, Build Conference is all about universal Windows apps. So it wouldn't be a good demo if I didn't go over to my mobile device and do the exact same thing. So luckily, we've already had the click to install on mobile for a while. So I've downloaded my app here. For the sake of the demo, I did preload the certificate on this device, so we didn't have to walk through that part. I go and I click. It asks me, are you sure you really want to install this? I say, absolutely. Should go to my apps view in a second here. Yep, there it goes and installs. And there's my universal Windows app running across both my devices, and it's just signed with my basic enterprise cert. So again, on the mobile device here, I didn't need to use the semantic cert. I'm just using a DevSign cert. So hopefully it's a super easy, simple to use workflow across all your devices. We're trying to make it really easy to just get universal apps on there. Tej just kind of touched on this earlier when he was talking about the Windows Store for Business, but Centennial apps will follow this exact same workflow. Centennial apps are just .appx files. They work across the same deployment stack. So while the code might run and operate a little bit differently, they really are just universal Windows apps. And you can sideload them just as easy as you can, the average UWA we have today. So basic workflow, again, is IT Pro provisions the trusted certificate on the device. Again, that's just a one-time activity if you're using the same root all the time. You enable the device for sideloading. Again, just a one-time activity. And then you deploy your apps. So easy, simple, all contained within your corporate network without any need to contact a service. So we talked a little bit about the Windows Store for Business and how I can start leveraging this private line of business catalog. I talked about the changes that we've done in sideloading. What this really means, though, is across all these different patterns, there could be some breaking changes for you guys if you want to change direction on how you install apps. So the first thing just to talk about is, like, if you're doing a universal Windows app, you want to make sure that whatever you're doing, your signing is consistent. So if you're happy with your semantic certificate on mobile, you can use that certificate across your Windows desktop devices. Just make sure you sign your packages the same. If you want to move off the semantic certificate on mobile and move to your own enterprise certificate, or if you want to leverage the Windows Store for Business private store, it's going to change the identity of your app. And it's really all around the publisher. So the semantic cert has a very specific publisher identity, and it doesn't map to the typical identity we get from the store. So kind of three paths here I just wanted to call out for migration. If you're going from a semantic cert to an enterprise cert, you're going to break. If you go from a semantic cert to the private store, you'll also break. If you're going from a Windows desktop, you know, enterprise cert that you use your own, and you go to the private store, it should work depending on how you crafted that certificate. And the reason I say it should work is if a lot of customers were already going to the store to grab the identity so they could use WNS on desktop, if you guys have done that, your publisher's going to match, you already have an app identity, there won't be any migration challenges. Unfortunately, the way that the original semantic certificate was crafted doesn't map to the publisher identity that we have in DevCenter, so that would be a breaking change there. But it's pretty easy to update your apps. If you're still building and deploying Zaps, what you do now is you just make sure that in your manifest, your publisher ID maps over to the Windows Phone publisher ID in DevCenter. So you just go into DevCenter, go into My Account Settings, and then you just go and make sure that maps to your Zap manifest. Don't worry about your semantic ID anymore. That's there if you still need certificate renewal, but it won't apply if you're submitting to the private store. Now, if you're building universal Windows apps and you're using VS, it's all just built in. You can just go through Project Store, Associate App with Store, and once you auth with your DevCenter account, it'll go through the workflow to create the identity, and it'll automatically update your app and your app manifest. And likewise, if you're not using VS, you can do that same workflow from DevCenter, and you just go through the Create New App workflow. So which do I use and when? Well, it's up to you to really figure out what you want to use. If you use the private store, just remember you're limited to standard capabilities. We do give you a little bit more capabilities with your own sideloaded apps, but not everyone really uses or needs any of those advanced capabilities. The reason they're advanced is they're, you know, more advanced scenarios. By leveraging the private store, though, we really do think it simplifies your life. Again, you're not having to worry about hosting the content anymore. You don't actually have to worry about signing. Integrated workflows for getting your identity, ties into telemetry, WNS. So lots of benefits for you guys as a developer. You get scalability of updates from leveraging Windows Update. So again, you know, 3 a.m. every day, it's going to go check for updates on your users' PCs. If you're connected to the internet, it's just going to auto-update for them. So you get a lot of those benefits there. But like, if you do have some sensitive IP content, sideloading's still there. We tried to make it really easy for you guys. So we really gave you a couple different models and mix and match as you need. Maybe you just want to sideload a few apps and you're going to leverage the Windows Store for Business for all your other stuff. So kind of to sum it all up, I mean, we worked really hard in Windows 10 to really knock down the barriers that were kind of in place for enterprises. We wanted to make it a really fluid and seamless way for you guys to get and use and install UWAs, whether it's from sideloading, whether it's from the Windows Store, and just kind of help you guys with the complete end-to-end lifecycle management. So that being said, just some related sessions around app building. Most of my team is here. We have about 12% of the sessions. So lots of cool things you can do. The overview is kind of great, just shows you where our app model is going. And then some deep dive sessions on a whole bunch of cool stuff like Action Center in the cloud and Tiles and Toast. And then a few pre-recorded sessions online that kind of cover some other topics. In addition to all the sessions that Build, I'm not sure if they talked about it in the keynotes, the folks in Redmond spent a bunch of time recording a whole bunch of extra sessions. So there's a whole bunch of content that's not live here that was pre-recorded before we got here. So take a look at Channel 9, just kind of search through there, and you'll see a lot of great sessions. Cool. And at this point, we can do some Q&A.
I think everyone's ready to go to the attendee party.
Yeah. All right. Well, one question in the front.
So is there a plan for enterprise home prem store?
So the question is there a plan for an enterprise on-prem store? What we've been doing really is working with the MDM vendors to make sure that we can just do end-to-end integration with them. And the goal is all the sync technologies that we have is they just sync that data and they become the on-prem version. So instead of us standing up, you know, our own special on-prem, we want to work with the people that are already specialists in this area and then give them more access to the data they need and the flows that they need so that they can be that single shop for everything.
Based on the
So the question is, can the user install the same app on multiple machines? So the way that we do all the licensing in the store today is actually based on a user. So if I'm a user on my device one, I install it on there, you can install that same app on up to 10 devices, and that's all on the user versus the up to 10 devices. Exactly. So everything is bound to the user. So when I actually go do a license acquisition when I'm connecting to the store, it's going to look at my identity of the user and then give me an issue a license back to the user itself. Question? So the question is, is there a way to control the number of licenses or how many times the user can install a specific app across licenses? And the answer is no. So right now, basically, it just depends on if the device is managed. If you do lock down the policies for a user to be able to install an app, you can do it that way. But if they're effectively unmanaged and I'm going through the store, they can install it on up to 10 devices. So it really comes down to being able to control the knob on can the user install an app versus on how many devices can the user install the app. So the question is, can a private store be shared with partners? So we are kind of looking at additional capabilities for the future, but for right now, it's only users with an identity within your organization.
Now, one thing we kind of touched upon with that is, if I'm Contoso and he's Fabricam, and I create an app that I want to publish to Contoso, if I want to share that with him, he can basically authorize me to publish to his catalog, and then I can actually publish into two catalogs. So I can't necessarily share my catalog, but we do have workflows in this like B2B type context where you as the publisher, if they authorize you, I can go submit to both of those catalogs. They're still two different catalogs though.
So the question is, will the certificate be the same? So yeah, so what I'll do is kind of break it down into two parts. So one is, as a user, so if I have the private store enabled, so I can't share as an organization, share that app with users across different organizations. I actually have to publish that app to that organization that I want to share the app with. Then, if they decide to enable that app to show up within the store app, their users will be able to get it as well. But you can't target, as a user, specific users outside of your organization for that application via the private store. Can the apps be signed by self-signed certificates?
Oh, yeah, so can the apps be signed by self-signed? So when you use the private store, everything's signed from the store origin. But if you're just sideloading, absolutely. So the demo that I did was, it was just a self-signed / pure trust certificate. VS created that certificate for me. You can go and push that certificate into trusted people and then install the app. Or you can, as an enterprise, if you have your own certificate root, like I said, just put your own root certificate on the device, and then all your devs that sign off that root, the apps will just install. It has to go into so the question is, can the certificate go in user or device? Certificates actually have to go into the device section. So it can go into the local device's trusted root authority, or it can go into the local device's trusted people for that peer trust self-signed cert.
So the question is, if I install that, let me kind of paraphrase here, if I install that license, or actually the certificate to all users on that device, will any user on that device be able to use the app?
Yeah, so I'm just going to... Oh, no, so if you've installed the cert on a device, and me and Tejas are sharing the device, if you install the app for Tejas, I will not have the app. You have to go and install the app for me. All the apps are still user-based installs. On Windows desktop, we do have a concept that we call app provisioning that can be done via DISM. And if you have the AppX package, you can go in during image creation or post-image creation, provision that app. And if it's an offline licensed app or if it's your own enterprise app, it'll mean any and every user that logs on that device will automatically get it registered. So you kind of see this today with the Mail app on Windows is a pre-installed app that's provisioned. And users have the flexibility to uninstall it, but by default, everyone gets it registered when they log in. Here and then there.
So the question is, will the app remotely uninstall if the user is no longer using the application? The answer is no. So you're still on that device. So let's just say a user's left the organization. If you're using a management tool, the management tool will need to issue a command to uninstall that application from that particular device. So the question is, if that device is not connected to the network, can it then do an uninstall? So basically, in that particular instance, once you revoke the license or reclaim that license, that it'll reclaim the license. So if another user wants to use that application, you can then assign it to them so they can install it. So if the application hasn't been uninstalled from the device, they'll continue to be able to use it. Until basically the license expires. So once the license expires and they try to open that application, they'll no longer be able to use it.
So we had a question here.
So kind of to rephrase that question, so if you have effectively another vendor that's distributing apps to other organizations on behalf of you as the ISV or a developer, is there a way to check whether they're enforcing that? And for offline licenses, the answer is no, because we don't do any sort of telemetry check to kind of understand, hey, how many actual licenses of this app are being used. We do have some mechanisms to detect piracy, and in that case, we would revoke the license if there's a discrepancy on to say, hey, we know this organization's purchased 1,000 copies, but this thing ended up on some website on BitTorrent or some other site, and all of a sudden we're seeing hits for 2 million. In that case, we do have the ability to revoke that license, and then anyone that's not authorized or not legitimately using it, we can actually revoke it. Okay. It sounds like I'm getting the wrap up over here, but I can kind of answer more once the wrap up.
Cool. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.